Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. We thank you so much for listening to us today. You could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we're so glad you decided to stop by here. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado, and it's Marriage Beyond the Vows, where today we're focusing on the power of the resurrection in your marriage. We encourage you to give us a call, ask your questions, and share your opinions on our subject. Reach out to us at 215-263-1039 or in Charlotte, 1-877-995-7644. Good morning and happy Easter weekend to you, Marcos.
Well, thank you, Tiffany, and happy and Easter to you and good morning to you. And we want to say good morning and welcome to all our friends and listeners. And we are excited to be able to talk about the resurrection, mm-hmm. specifically the resurrection and the power of the resurrection in our marriages. Mm-hmm. You know, our theme scripture for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 to 24. And it simply says, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, God, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And we know that the word of God, but specifically the power of the resurrection, can change our lives, it can transform our families, and it can resurrect our marriages. And so we're really excited to be able to talk about that this morning, because it is the power of the resurrection that changes us. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning. As usual, we'd like to start with a word of prayer, if we can pray at this time. Our God in heaven, Father, we thank you so much for all our friends who are listening right now on the air. Father, we pray that we can be connected to your word. We can be connected, Father, to the power of the resurrection. Father, knowing that our marriages can be transformed, God, we can have phenomenal and great marriages, Father, that can be just an example to others, Father, as they see Christ in us and as they see that we can change, Father, that there is hope, that there are solutions, Father, that we can be directed to the light at the end of the tunnel, Father, which we know is your Son and that Spirit that resurrected your Son from the dead. Father, we love you. We thank you. We pray that you would be with us in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. So let's get a little more into this. So tell us more about this power of the resurrection in your marriage. How do you see that working in your marriage, Marcos?
Well, you know, there are many ways. I think the first one is perhaps the most basic one, and that is the realization that my marriage would not last if it were not for my relationship with God, if it were not for Christ. You know, I would not be a good husband. My wife would not be the woman that she needs to be if it were not for the power of the cross and the resurrection. So simply because we have Christ in our lives, our marriages can succeed. You know, we can do so well with that. And so it's so important for us to understand that, you know, there is hope. There are solutions. You know, sometimes even Christians can feel hopeless and can feel like, you know what, I'm stuck, perhaps even more so than the world, because we have the Bible and we say, you know what, God hates divorce. So we have to make this work, but we feel like there's no hope. There are no solutions. And so the power and what we're talking about this morning is the fact that there are solutions. That if you and both you and your spouse decide to make Jesus Lord, that the Bible is the standard, that two Christians can make a marriage work.
So hearing, and since you are a counselor, hearing all the different issues that can go on in a person's marriage, you know, what is there any one main thing, any one main scripture, any one direction that you can point a person in to say, you know what, all that you're experiencing, I mean, minus, of course, some like really horrific things that may go on, and we're speaking of abuse or whatever, that can keep your marriage together. What specifically do you say to someone like, yeah, okay, I understand you don't like the way he, you know, is out too much with his friends, or you don't like the fact that she spends too much money on shoes, or whatever the case may be, whatever it is that may cause a rift in the marriage, you know, what, where do you direct them in the Bible to say, hey, you know what, it's deep, but it's not that deep?
Well, it all depends, but it really goes back to the cross should be personal. you know, at this particular time here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, we want to kind of take marriage and just for a moment, not literally split you up, but for a moment, just say, you know what? The cross is an individual relationship with mm-hmm. God. You know, it has nothing to do with, okay, we can say, hey, you know, God is in our marriage. But really, if the cross doesn't move you, if it doesn't change you, mm-hmm. then you can't expect your spouse to change. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think too many times it's easy to point the finger. So you mentioned some things, abuse or whatever. Even in that area, you know, God can still work in your life. Mm-hmm. And God can work in anyone's life. But sometimes we want God to fix other people. And we go to God in prayer. Mm-hmm. We say, God, you know, please change this man. He's driving me crazy. Or change this woman. You know, I can't bear it no more. Instead of saying, you know what? I need to be able to see what is it that God is trying to teach me through this. You know, when we think about the challenge, the pain, the agony that Jesus had to go through, specifically, you know, as it's Easter and we're talking about the resurrection, and tomorrow, you know, people will be going to church and folks will be praising God and talking about the resurrection. But we know before the resurrection was possible, Jesus had to suffer and he had to die. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for us, you know, we like to focus on the good. We want to focus on, oh, the resurrection. That's amazing. That's the good news. Well, the real good news, if you think about it, is the fact that we don't have to suffer the same way. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we do need to be reminded of Jesus' suffering. And sometimes marriage can be a very humbling place in life. Mm-hmm. You know, marriage is a challenge. And even though we want to talk about the great things of marriage, which we will later on in the show, okay, we want to talk about that, you know, there are challenges. And specifically, I think one of the most challenging things for me in marriage is that I get to see who I really am. Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy to be able to point out someone else's sin and be able to see what they can do better. Mm-hmm. But usually in marriage, you get reminded very quickly of your own shortcomings,
yeah,
your own challenges, your own sin. And so what do I tell people? I say, you know what? You got to focus on you.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, when he was on the cross, he could have focused on everything else, but he was focused on what he needed to do to please his Father in heaven. Right. And even when he was on the cross, suffering, mocked, spat upon, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And to me, that is the most powerful phrase that you could think about when you think about the cross. Mm-hmm. And if we incorporate that into our marriages and we say, you know what, let me add forgiveness to this, mm-hmm. then there's so much hope. You know, one of the reasons, Tiffany, that people cannot move on is because they refuse to forgive. Mm. They have a list. They'll say, you know, and quite often we have even callers saying, well, you know, my spouse did this, and that. And we say, okay, well, first of all, your spouse is not here with you right now. They're not right on the phone. You know, it's not even fair to talk about them. We understand and we feel your pain. But what about you? Right. What are you going to do now that God has given you this opportunity? Right. Are you going to forgive? Are you going to get strong? Mm-hmm. Are you going to surrender your life right the way that you're expected to from the Word of God?
And I want to expand on this forgiveness portion of it, because that is a big part, as you were mentioning. But, you know, like I said, I'm a list person, so I want to get into that. But we have some people on the line,
sure,
and we'd love to hear from you. If you have a comment or a question about our topic today, we're talking about the power of resurrection in your marriage. And the first question on the table is, what are some of the areas that you need the power of resurrection in your marriage? What are some of those things? Give us a call at 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644 for our listeners in Charlotte and around the world listening to us on the internet. Let's go first to Melanie, who is online from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you today?
So I'm fine. Thank you.
Good, good. I was listening to what you guys said. It almost made me want to just hang up and say, well, I guess they said it all. It's kind of minimizing what I have to say, but mm-hmm. I stayed on the line anyway. I'm struggling in the area of forgiveness for my husband. Mm-hmm. He's in a relationship with another woman right now. We've been married for 19 years. Mm-hmm. And he has an apartment, and he's given the woman keys to his apartment, and they hadn't even been seeing each other for a good 6 months. Mm-hmm. She went out and bought him a brand new truck, and mm-hmm. we have children together, and he still wants to see his children and bring our children around this woman and around the relationship. I don't feel it's right, because I tell them, I bring them to church. It's a certain set of values I'm trying to teach them, and they don't understand, and they're confused by it. And my husband dropped our children off in front of our home and has the woman in the car. And I'm like, just irate, how could you disrespect me like this? Mm-hmm. How could you disrespect our children? Mm-hmm. And I pray and I pray and I pray about it, and I'm trying not to be bitter. He's called me and said, well, I was thinking about coming out to church with you. And I said, well, you know, later on he brought this woman again to our door to drop the kids off. How can you come to church with me and you do this? And he says, well, I didn't say I was coming to church with you. I was just thinking about coming out to church. And it just all feels like a slap in the face. I mean, mm-hmm. what can I do? I'm just so, I want my marriage. I do want things to work, and I keep it in prayer. But at the same time, I'm just so bitter and frustrated with him.
Okay. Well, Melanie, we thank you so much for the courage to even stay on the phone and say, you know what, I am going to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that you are hurt, and rightly so. I mean, there are some hurtful things going on there. It's obvious that you still have feelings for your husband. Mm-hmm. But I think most importantly, and you hit it when you talked about what you're trying to teach your children, when you say, you know, you are staying faithful and you're trying to teach them and bring them up in the right way. And what better way to do that than to exemplify that and show them that you're, first of all, and I'm not saying you're doing this, perhaps you already are in a good way, but to exemplify and say, you know what, I am not going to badmouth your father. I am not going to, you know, talk about just all the things that he's doing wrong. I'm going to focus on what I can do. And there are ways that you can do that. You can go back and say, you know what, I'm going to be praying. I need to be patient and forgiving. At the same time, it doesn't mean you need to tolerate it. It sounds like you are setting up some boundaries and you say, look, I don't appreciate this. I don't feel good about that. But you cannot change what he does and does not do. Mm. And you can let him know, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm glad you're going to church. But, you know, it's going to take a little bit more than you going to church. You're going to start having to put some things that you hear at church into practice. And right now it sounds like he's not at a place in his life where he even wants to listen to these things. It sounds like he really wants to live his life, wants to do what he wants, you know, whatever he pleases him at the moment. In this case is to be in this relationship that he, if he knows the Bible, he knows it's wrong. I mean, and anybody can tell you that. Right. But you can exemplify that, and you can do your part by not being bitter, by praying for that forgiveness and showing your children, you know what, we're going to love him, we're going to pray for him, and we pray that he would be able to see God through this and make it through that. Melanie, does that help at all?
Yes. Okay. Yes, and that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to stay strong. It's hard when, you know, you pray for someone and they keep disrespecting you to your face and making a mockery out of the good you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know what? Just a scripture to think about here, and it's a very challenging scripture, but it's in Matthew 6, verse 15. It says, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Mm-hmm. Understanding that, you know, God has been merciful with us, and I'm sure there are a lot of things you can think about that you could change and you can do better and focus on those things.
Okay.
All right, Melanie, we thank you so much for calling in, and we thank you for your courage in sharing your situation with us this morning.
And I thank you for having me.
All right. Have a great day. All right. Marcos, I was saying before, I really want you to break down this whole process of forgiveness thing.
Sure.
I am not married, but I have had several situations with friends or former boyfriends or what have you when I've been hurt and I know I need to let it go. But it's like it's something that just stays with me and I can keep saying, all right, I'm gonna let it go. I'm gonna let it go. But if I hear the person's voice, if I see their face, especially if it was some kind of a major infraction, like they really did something that went against all my morals or just hurt my feelings deeply, I find it difficult to just say, you know what, I forgive you. Well, I can say I forgive you, but really, it's still in there. That bitterness is still right there on the surface. And it's a situation of time, you know. After a while, I won't feel as bitter. And I know, okay, I've fully forgiven you because at the, you know, the mere mention of your name, I'm not seething, things of that nature. How is there any way to really speed up that process? And I can imagine when you're married, that bitterness can get deeper faster because you're married. What is the process of doing that?
Well, Tiffany, that is a great question. And I believe that the answer is in what we're talking about. It's in the example that Jesus set while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prepared himself to go to the cross. You see, I don't know what it was like for you, Tiffany, but for me growing up, I had just a kind of a very surfaced understanding of what Jesus went through. I knew that Jesus died. I was taught that as a child, and I knew that he went to the cross, but I didn't understand what that meant. And it wasn't until I actually studied the Bible later on in life, and a passage that I'll never forget, but that I constantly have to be reminded of, and I constantly show people, is Jesus in Matthew 26, starting in verse 36, 36 to 46, and it's him praying at the garden.
Okay.
And he's there, and it says that he prayed. In the account in Luke, it says that his sweat was like drops of blood. Doctors have done medical accounts, and they've been able to find out that it's possible to be under so much agony, so much stress, that your actual capillaries burst and mix with the sweat, and you're literally sweating drops of blood. And what was he so, what was he praying so earnestly for and in so much agony for? But it was to be able to surrender to the will of God and to get his heart right. You know, Jesus, we know, never sinned, but he struggled and he had all the physical challenges that we had. So Jesus himself had to surrender. And that is what we're talking about here. When we have a hard time forgiving, when we have a hard time moving on, when we have a hard time just getting resolved about situations, is because we've not forgiven and we've not surrendered to the will of God. Now, that doesn't come natural. That's what God invented prayer for. It's like, go wrestle with this in prayer. And so Jesus himself in that passage, what did he do? He wrestled. He prayed. It says for one, you know, he prayed for 1 hour, got up. His disciples were sleeping, woke them up again, went back to pray. And he had to actually pray three separate times before he was resolved. And he said, OK, I'm ready to do this. And so for us, it would be a mistake to think that we're more spiritual than Jesus, and that we can move on and go through difficult challenges without really going to God and wrestling and surrendering and saying, God, not my will, but your will. And so in this case, Tiffany, what you're talking about is, first of all, it's impossible for us to forgive and forget. Only God can do that.
Right.
But we can forgive. And you mentioned something. You said you feel like you want to forgive and you say you've forgiven the person, but you know you haven't because you can't. You can't even bear to hear that person's
name. Or their voice or whatever.
This is what I do for me. I could just share for my life. I know I've forgiven someone when I can see them and I can look them in the eye and I can say, look, I'm praying for you. I know that I've forgiven them when I can sincerely, I'm not talking about in a struggle, but I've already struggled in prayer and I sincerely, I'm able to go to God in prayer and say, God, I really do want you to work in this person's life. Use this ridiculous situation. Challenging situation, but at the end, I hope and pray that this person gets it because I don't want to wish them any harm. And see, the challenge is when we haven't forget, we want the other person to feel the same pain.
Sure enough.
And if you're anything like me, it's like, okay, you know what? I might forgive them, but not before they get a little taste of what they put me through. And then perhaps I'll forgive them. That's not Jesus. Could you imagine if Jesus would have said that on the cross and said, you know what, I'll forgive them, but first they need to go through some of the anguish and pain and agony that I'm going through, and then I'll forgive them.
Right.
Absolutely not. He took it on upon himself. So, Tiffany, there is no simple answer other than, you know, in one sense it's simple. We know the answer, but the other sense is we got to wrestle. It's outside of our nature. It's not natural for us to forgive.
All right. So is it safe to say that it's okay if it takes time? You know, because sometimes, you know, depending on who you talk to, whoever is in your council, be it a friend or an elder or something like that, sometimes I get the feeling that people want you to hurry up and forgive. Like it should be automatic. It should be instant. And I find that difficult, especially if it's something that's really deep to the heart. And if it's, you know, someone you love and they really did something to hurt you to your core, there's a, you know, there's some healing time there. Is it safe to say it's okay that it takes time? Not that you're trying not to forgive, that you're actually in the process of praying and doing all the things that you mentioned. But if it doesn't happen today, that you're not somehow a bad Christian.
Okay. Well, I'll answer that with a question.
Okay.
It goes back to what we discussed. did Jesus take time to prepare to get to that point where he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do? Mm-hmm. If it wasn't natural for Jesus himself, mm-hmm. and we're talking about natural in terms of our flesh.
Right.
You know, we know the words of Christ himself. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about you're willing, your heart, you want to get there, mm-hmm. but we know the heart is deceitful and beyond cure, mm-hmm. meaning that your mind and your heart are not always connected. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you know, okay, I know the right thing. I know I need to love this person. Mm-hmm. I know I need to forgive this person. I know I need to, you know, change in this situation, but I don't feel like it right now. The only time I would say that it's wrong is when you refuse. When mm-hmm. your attitude is, you know what, I don't care. And I'll tell you a quick story here. Mm-hmm. Never forget this. I was studying the Bible with a very good guy, a very educated guy. What I mean by good is he had so many outward attributes in terms of what a good person is. You know, he okay. dedicated his life to medicine. He helped others. He did a lot of good. And we were studying the Bible and we were trying to convince him, you know, why he needed to be a Christian, mm-hmm. not only, you know, do good in the world, but to really have that relationship with God. He loved it. He was one of the most grateful people that I've ever studied the Bible with. I mean, would never let us pay for anything. We would go out for lunch to study, will always thank us. Mm-hmm. And then we got to a part where we were talking about sin. Mm-hmm. And we started talking about forgiving his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And mind you, this man did a lot of good. And one of the things that he refused to do, though, when we talked about forgiving his ex-wife, he said, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, are you kidding me? You know, it was almost a shock. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, let me tell you. I am paying so much money in child support and alimony, even more than I need to, because mm-hmm. I refuse to even go to court and see this woman. Mm-hmm. He said, I can go to court and actually fight this mm-hmm. and pay a lot less money, but because I don't want to see her and I hate this woman, mm-hmm. I'd rather just pay more money because I never want to see her. You know, I don't know what mm-hmm. I'll do if I see her. And we were like, you got to be kidding me. And we showed him scripture after scripture about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what? If I need to forgive this woman to make it to heaven, I guess I'm going to hell. I'll go to hell.
Oh, wow.
I'd rather go to hell. And he was so bitter. So his attitude was like, there's no way mm-hmm. I'm doing this. So until you get to that point, and you might not, you know, verbalize it in those exact words, but if your attitude, if you refuse to surrender to God's will, then you're mm-hmm. in danger. But if your heart is like, you know what, God, I want to do the right thing, but my
it's
goodness, this
yet.
Is difficult. I'm not there. I need time. I mean, who are we to say that you need to speed this process up? I mean, mm-hmm. you were hurt. This takes pain. And, you know, we're talking about some situations where there's abuse, mm-hmm. where there's infidelity, where there's, you know, just fill in the blank of so many sad and hurtful things that have happened in people's mm-hmm. lives. You know, we're human and it does take us a while for our hearts to line up with our minds and with the scriptures. Mm-hmm. But that struggle should be there and that's normal.
All right. Thank you so much for that. And listen, we invite you to give us a call and share your stories and opinions. 215-263-1039 and 1-877-995-7644. More Marriage Beyond the Vows returns right after this.
Back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Thank you again for joining us and welcome back to the program. We are Praise, your inspiration station. Today we are talking about what are some of the areas you need the power of the resurrection in your marriage. That is the question on the table for you. Again, reach out to us with your comments and your questions and on some of the various topics that fall under our question today. 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. Marcos, we have Marie on the line from Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, dear. Good morning, Marcus. Just want to make a comment about the process while you're waiting to forgive the person if by bad luck that you drop dead. And how God gonna deal with that? I know that it's a process to forgive the person because something are very deep. You need time to do it. But I'm just wondering if anything happens to me in that process of waiting to forgive that person, where my soul is going.
Okay. Well, great question, Marie. Let me ask you this question. What do you think would happen if there are things right now in your character that perhaps you know about or don't know about that you're constantly trying to change, but you haven't changed totally?
It's the process again. I'm praying constantly about it to see if I could, you know, get over it, because it's not easy. So maybe that the forgiveness fall in that same category of the other thing, that I'm not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect person. However, it seems that you got to constantly pray about it. That was my fear of if anything happened between that time, you know.
Okay. And you know what I'll share with you is 1 John 1. It talks about walking in the light. 1 John 1, verse 5, it says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus purifies us from all sin." And then it goes on. It says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." You know, Marie, what you're talking about is being honest with ourselves and saying we struggle with sin.
Okay.
What you're talking about, though, is if a person is struggling and they're praying and they're working through it, as to opposed to someone who just refuses. You know, the Bible talks if we deliberately keep on sinning, then what? There's no more sacrifice for us. Why? Because we're, to our shame, we're subjecting the Jesus back to the cross and to public shame. And so what we need to make sure is that we constantly struggle. And in this scripture, it says that we have fellowship with one another, meaning that we turn on the lights. We're open about our lives. See, the difference between, and I can share with my life, Marie, is before I was a Christian, before I had Christ in my life, I had sin. I had all these things in my life, but they were in the dark. I never dealt with them. I didn't pray about them. I didn't try to change. Now that I'm a Christian, what I do is I wrestle with them, but I get people to pray for me. I'm open about them, and I really do want to change. That's not to say that, you know what, I'm going to change little by little, and I'm going to hold on to my sin. We're talking about the fact that we don't want to sin, but that we still struggle. In this case, if we're talking about forgiveness, we're saying, you know what, God, I really do want to get to that point. And my heart isn't there. My I want to forgive, but my emotions are not there yet. And I'm just going to continue to pray and wrestle through this so that I can do that. And
okay,
so...
Okay, so the
Does
thing
that
is, it's about the awareness of it, knowing that you are in the situation and keep praying about it.
Of course, and you know, we're saved by grace. And what I mean by that is that doesn't give us a free license to sin and do whatever we want. But what it does say is, you know what, we are sinful, you know, we have a sinful nature, and we are going to struggle with sin for the rest of our lives. And so if we unfortunately die at a point where we're in the process of really growing and changing, I would say amen to that, because that's what we're doing. Don't confuse that, Marie, with someone saying deliberately, you know what, I don't care, and I'm not going to change, and I'm going to turn my back on God. That's different. That's dangerous. I do not want to be at that point and die. But we want to make sure that we are at a place where we're like, God, you know, I'm struggling. I'm going through this. This is not easy, but I want to change.
All right.
Thank
awesome.
You very much, dear. Thank you very much, Marie. Have a blessed day and enjoy the weekend. Thank you.
Have a great Easter.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have Andrea on the line from Charlotte. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to you guys on the radio, and I have to admit it is very hard to forgive. Mm-hmm. And it took God really getting underneath my skin to really forgive my husband when we were going through a really rough time. And for any woman out there who has to forgive their husband for hurting them, it is the most humbling thing you could ever, ever go through, because you really have to put yourself second on everything.
Mm-hmm. That is so true, Andrew.
Yeah, and how I had to come to the point of actually forgiving my husband was I was doing the will of Andrea instead of the will of God when I met him. And we found out we were having a baby the second day I met him.
Okay.
And it was really hard because I just met this person. I wasn't even living the life that needed to be living according to, you know, God's will. And the second I found out I was pregnant, I was turning everything around. And we wound up getting married, falling in love, and then raising a child. And the next morning when I woke up, I'm like, my plate's already running over. I'm already full. And not even a year later, we found out we were having another child.
Wow.
And now we haven't even been married 3 years, but he decided he wanted to just call it quits because he couldn't handle it anymore. He felt I was neglecting him because of raising both the babies. And it was really hard because I looked at him as him loving me unconditionally because we're married. We took that vow. We both became Christians. We're baptized together. And I thought, well, man, you know, I trusted him with my heart and my love, and I, you know, had to go through the process of falling in love with him as well because we just met each other. And I was really hurt by that, and it took a lot out of me to just even be nice to him, even want him around me, and not just walk out the door with the kids. But what I had to do every morning, and it was the hardest thing in the world because he hurt me so bad, is I just got on my face every morning and thanked God for my husband. And it was so hard. It was the hardest thing because I was so hurt and mad. And, I mean, it's not, you know, as serious as, you know, infidelity or just abandonment. But to me, it was like that. Mm-hmm. And I just had to get on my face, and I just thanked God for him. And I asked God, the man that you want my husband to be in my life, I pray that you will instill that in him. And I left it alone. I didn't ask him, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? I never brought up anything about what was going on to my husband, and I just kept, you know, going through life and continually praying and thanking God for him, even though it was so hard. And little by little, I just saw God instilling in him what he needed to be. And it was the most amazing thing in the world because, I mean, Satan was really getting in there. I mean, he was starting to get on, like, the computer, going on Facebook and connecting with other women on Facebook.
Okay.
And it was, like, to the point where if he wanted to, he could have stepped out. He could have left. He could have done it because it was so easy. We barely knew each other still. We've only been together for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But I, like I said, I just thank God for him. And I just prayed that if anything that needs to happen in my life that I need to change, that he would do that and let me see it immediately, and that I just continually did the same thing every day until I just saw a complete change in him. And it was amazing.
That is amazing. It's an amazing story. But I think the heart of it all is that you had to get to a point that you were going to surrender.
Yes.
And surrender in prayer. You know what? It's so easy to say. It's like that expression, easier said than done. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to say. And I hear it when people even say, I don't want to hear that. But it's like that is the reality. And it wasn't until you surrendered, and it didn't happen from one day to the next, but a consistent heart of surrendering and praying. I mean, that is hard when you are trying to focus on what the other person needs to do. And you prayed, thank you, God, for this person in my life. And do all, you know, thanking him for this person, even though they're hurting you at the moment. It's amazing the power of prayer and the power of the resurrection. But see, again, it only can happen if you have that relationship with God. If you were not a Christian, if you didn't even have the opportunity to pray or really trust the scriptures, then there would be no hope for your marriage.
Yeah, you're right. And for anyone out there who's just kind of dabbling in Christianity, all I have to say is give it a shot. If you haven't tried it, don't knock it, because you don't know the power that it can instill in you and in your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and also for any woman out there who's dealing with the problem of forgiveness because, you know, their husband is just not giving them what they're needing, just pray that God will do that for you instead. Like, God, hug me. God, love on me. God, give me that, you know, strength to keep going, or give me that encouragement that I am who I need to be. Because God will give it to you, and he'll also move it into your spouse to do that to you as well. And
absolutely.
It does take time. It does take healing, because every time you get hurt, it may be like a cut. It heals,
sure.
But there's still a scar there. And it's a constant reminder of, wow, I got cut right there. but it's also a reminder to show you, hey, I'm still alive and I'm still moving on.
Well, amen. Amen. Well, Andrea, we are going to have to continue on. We have some more callers on the line, but we thank you so much for that powerful testimony and that, you know, that realness from you that you had to wrestle in prayer to be able to forgive your husband. And you've seen that power changing, the power of the resurrection. So thank you so much, Andrea. And God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. We have an anonymous caller on the line from Charlotte. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. First, I really want to thank you both for the blessing that you provide to so many listeners who struggle with issues in their marriage. The topic today, talking, I guess the question has to do with forgiveness and resurrecting things in your marriage. I'm presently separated, and I do believe that I have forgiven my husband for many of the things in our marriage, but the question I always come back to is, just because you've forgiven someone, does that mean that you need to stay with that person, especially when they haven't really exhibited any change in behaviors that are of concern to you? Do you have to stay with that person just because you've forgiven them?
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the question. It's a great question, and I do understand that, you know, sometimes we want to be anonymous about this, and we respect that for, you know, on behalf of all our callers here who do want to share, but they don't want their identity to be known. In this particular case, we're talking about forgiveness. You know, we're talking about the power of the resurrection, but connecting that to forgiveness. See, forgiveness doesn't mean that you put up and do whatever is going to consistently hurt you. And not knowing your exact situation, we do not know if there's abuse or what else. But the Bible talks about God hating divorce and giving an opportunity for divorce only on when there's infidelity. But that does not, and I repeat this all the time to our listeners and to people who I counsel, is that does not mean that you have to stay in that situation. It's okay to separate, and you do not have to be in a situation that you cannot handle or bear, or that is going to consistently put you in harm's way. Meaning that forgiveness doesn't mean you have to go back with the person. That just simply means you've forgiven them, you resolve. You can say, you know, I love you still, I forgive you, but I cannot be a wife right now to you because of your unfaithfulness or because of your addiction or because of you fill in the blank. And until that changes, we cannot be together. That is quite fine. The scriptures do not ever tell us that we need to subject ourselves to harm and to something that is going to even be devastating to our own relationship with God. We have to treasure our walk with God first. And if being in this relationship with constant harm and constantly being reminded of or whatever it is and being hurt all the time, it's okay to have those boundaries and say, you know what? I can't right now. I cannot live under the same roof until this changes. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Now, I do know that there's some people might take the Bible, interpret it, and say, no, that means you got to be a wife no matter what. But the Bible never says that.
Okay.
All right. We thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening today.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. We have another anonymous call on the line, this time from Philadelphia. Good morning. You are live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to thank you guys. I've been going through some changes, trying to figure out how to forgive my husband. And you guys, you just hit it on the nose. The callers hit it. And I just wanted to say thank you. I know what I need to do now because I've been wrestling with it. And I just wanted to call and say thank you. That's all.
All right. No problem. We thank you so much for listening. And I'm glad it's been a blessing. That's awesome. All right.
That's right.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, it's wonderful, Marcos. You know, especially when you choose your theme scriptures, it really does reach out to people. And so many people are, you know, unfortunately in pain and going through, you know, issues. And issues happen. And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, you want to forgive. You want to move forward. You want there to be some sort of a reckoning. Most people don't want to hold the hate, you know, in their heart. But you can't, you know, you can't say that the hate doesn't have a place. It's like, wow, you hurt me. So there's pain. So there's that pain. But you don't want that pain to, you know, stay. You want it to go. So whatever help, you know, you can get, and whether it's scriptures or if you just look at the Bible and you're like, I don't even know where to go to find some, you know, some peace. This is, you know, what you're providing is awesome.
Absolutely. And what I do encourage all our listeners is don't hate and don't procrastinate. I mean, don't do those two. You know, it's okay to struggle. I mean, read the Psalms. There are 150 of them. Most of them are great prayers. A lot of them are prayers of struggle. I mean, King David himself, how was he able to? I mean, when you read that story, he had opportunities to not just kill, but truly, truly alienate, you know, annihilate. What am I saying? Annihilate Saul, even in a cave. And yet he decided to trust God and do it God's way. And I'm like, how in the world did he have the heart? But God says he was a man after his own heart, but he struggled in prayer. I mean, he was like, God, you know, and in those same, sometimes in the same psalm, he's like, God, you know, please, you know, bring vengeance on my enemies. And then later on, he's like, but you're such a compassionate God. You're so forgiving. And it's okay to struggle. I think that there is this fallacy that a Christian can't struggle. And yet we are going to focus on the resurrection. But before the resurrection, what happened? Jesus struggled. Mm-hmm. So if it was okay for Jesus himself to struggle in prayer and struggle to get resolved and struggle with the people, I can't imagine how difficult it must have been for Jesus praying, knowing that he had to go and face a gruesome death, and yet he was innocent in every aspect.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, and we even had a caller early on who said, you know, a lot of the pain she brought upon herself because she did things her own way. You know, a lot of times the consequences of our sin is what we struggle with.
Right.
We're in a relationship and it's going downhill, but we put ourselves in that situation by not trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we want God to fix it. And God will fix it. He's faithful, but not before we perhaps learn some lessons, before perhaps we learn to surrender. And we need to. It's so important for us to see that it's okay to struggle. And the victory comes after the struggle. The resurrection happened after the death.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen. All right, let's go back to the phones. And we are encouraging you to call in with your comment, of course, your questions. Our topic today is the power of the resurrection in your marriage. The specific question is, what are some of the areas that you need the power of resurrection in your marriage? Call us at 215-263-1039 1-877-995-7644. Bernard is on the line from South Philadelphia. Good morning. You are live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, Tess, for you and Marcos. How y'all doing?
Doing fine.
Great.
Thank you.
I told y'all about these subjects, man. Y'all right up my street again. You prompt me to call, but anyway.
That's all right.
Forgiveness is so heavy, man. I mean, I listened to what you said, Marcos, in regards to what Christ went through trying to forgive those that were going to take his life. Physically anyway, but nonetheless, if he struggled, it's very hard for us to forgive as well.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, I share the same passion with the doctor you talked about.
Okay.
I mean, I understand where he is, man, and I hope he gets through that. As for myself, you know what I mean? To be drugged through that court system, to be embarrassed, and I mean, with my situation, all I wanted was order in my household. And, you know, I went to a counselor once, me and my wife. The counselor told us, y'all ain't going to make it. Because he said, you like order, she don't. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Unless y'all can accept each other, y'all not going to make it. And I told my wife, come on, let's get out. This guy telling us we ain't going to make it. And we didn't make it. So he was right. But nonetheless, I'm asking God, because it's so hard for me to forgive her for what she did to me. Taking me down there to that court, man. The guy's embarrassing me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I'm asking God to forgive her through me. I'm asking him to use me to forgive her, because without him, I can't let that go, man. And I mean, people are telling me, man, you got to let that go. You got to let it be. It's done. Get past it. But it ain't that easy. You know what I mean? And I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, and I've seen him work in my life, you know what I mean, in regards to saving my soul and changing me. But the deal is that in regards to forgiving, I mean, it's the hardest thing in the world to do, particularly when you know what the person did to you, you wouldn't do to them.
Of course. And it's always personal. You know, if it were a friend that you were advising, you would say, you know, brother, you need to forgive, and you'll do, and you know exactly what to tell them. But when it goes back to us, it's that battle within. And actually, Bernard, I want to share this with you and also for all our listeners. Romans 8, verse 25 through 37, it says, in the same way, I'm sorry, verse 26 and 27, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You know, the power of the resurrection is that that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, and we know he was as good as dead, he was buried, he was in that tomb for 3 days, that same Spirit that brought him to life is that same Spirit that God gives us when we're Christians. And it says that that Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, God knows that this is difficult, but because of that, he says, I'm not going to leave you by yourself, and you can do it. And see, the hope that I always hold on to is that, you know, I know God believes I can do this. If not, he would not put me in this situation, and he would not ask me to do something that would be impossible. But like you're saying, Bernard, it's still not easy.
No,
but no one said, did anyone ever say it would be easy?
No, I mean, but I thought it would.
Well, here's the thing. I think some people do say it's easy, but the Bible doesn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are to imitate Christ, meaning that, and you know, because we're talking about the resurrection, we can't avoid talking about the pain that Jesus went through. And it's the very same people, I believe, what made it even harder perhaps for Jesus to love and forgive. It's because these are the very same people who he helped. He healed them. He fed them. I mean, he did so much for them. And they're the very ones who are screaming, crucify him, crucify him, crucify. Mm-hmm. And yet he's able to say, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He's like, right, they've lost their mind. They don't get it. But I'm still going to do this for them.
Hey, right, Bernard, I just
want to say one more thing if I can, too.
Okay.
My wife told me she's going to take me to court before we ever had children. And,
okay.
And she told me, she said, how come your other children's mother don't take you? I said, I take care of my kids. That's why they don't take me to court. She said, well, if me and you ever have children and we split up, you go into court. So it shouldn't be no shock to me, but it really took me down, man.
Yeah.
That's with my head, you know. But pray for me, man, because I really want to forgive. I want to let it go. I really do, but I just can't, man.
Okay. Well, keep wrestling in prayer. And you know what? Ask God to help you to see your sin and how much he's forgiven you. And I believe that would help you to forgive as well.
That's it, Marcos. Thanks for that. I'm going to hold on to that.
All
Amen.
Right.
God bless.
Bernard,
thanks,
thank
man.
You for calling.
All right, Tiffany. Good
All
day.
Right. You too. So we want you to stay on the line, Rose and Jean. We're going to come right to you, but we're going to take a pause. And if you are in the queue, stay on the line. We're going to take your comments and your calls when Marriage Beyond the Vows returns right after this.